this week, a congressman returns from El Salvador.
I think we ought to get our advisors out of there.
Secretary Haig argues the opposite, citing Soviet aim on Central America.
I would call it a priority target list.
Poland's unions and authorities square off again.
The police must realize that they are not the masters in this country.
The president rallies his following.
Fellow citizens, fellow conservatives, our time is now. Our moment has arrived.
I'm David Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Central America provided a violent focus of anti-U.S. sentiment this week. A bomb attack at the U.S. Embassy in Costa Rica wounded three Marine guards. And again, gunfire from a passing car raked the embassy in El Salvador. A U.S. congressman, Maryland Democrat Clarence Long, had left the mission just minutes before the gun attack. His committee is reviewing U.S. aid for El Salvador, and he was on a fact-finding mission. He came back not liking the facts he found or the future as he sees it.
You see, the words that we are giving, that they will not be used for combat or that more combat people, are exactly the same words that President Eisenhower used in 1954 when he sent advisors in. What I'm afraid of is we'll get ourselves into a situation where we're faced with a dilemma of either mass intervention on the one hand or a humiliating withdrawal on the other.
Long calls for withdrawal of all U.S. military advisors from El Salvador now. But still more arrived this weekend, and Gary Shepard in San Salvador has the story.
The final contingent of the 56 U.S. military advisors being sent here to help train the Salvadoran army arrived today at a small airfield just outside the capital. 11 members of the U.S. Army Special Forces Unit, known as the Green Berets, flew in from the Army's Jungle Warfare School in Panama on a military C-130 transport plane. They were wearing civilian clothes and were not allowed to talk to reporters who weren't even allowed on the base. Officials at the U.S. Embassy here say the advisors will begin training classes as soon as possible, concentrating on basic instruction like weapons handling, communications, and anti-guerrilla warfare. Earlier this week, the Salvadoran Army produced a man identified as an insurgent. He told reporters he'd been trained in Cuba and that weapons and supplies being used by the guerrilla forces come here from Cuba. The war itself remained relatively quiet, with only scattered fighting between government and guerrilla forces, most of it in the northern areas of this country where the rebels are strongest. Gary Shepard, CBS News, San Salvador.
The Reagan administration is seeing no lull in the Soviet threat to the area. Secretary of State Haig went to Capitol Hill to describe what he calls a Kremlin hit list in Central America.
And not only is El Salvador the target of what we are witnessing, what we are watching is a four-phased operation. Phase one has been completed, the seizure of Nicaragua. Next is El Salvador, to be followed by Honduras and Guatemala. It's clear and explicit.
He backed off a bit the next day, saying there are some moderate factions still at work in Nicaragua, but the Soviet threat, Haig insists, is very real. The administration also backed away a bit from earlier concern that Soviet bloc military maneuvers might mask a Soviet invasion of Poland. That, the administration now says, is not likely. Still, labor unrest there was on the rise. More on the story after this.
Right now, the button that could start World War III is controlled by a psychotic crew aboard an American nuclear submarine. A crew cut off from outside contact, yet bound by events that could wipe out the entire world. The Gold Crew, a paralyzing novel with a warning all too real. An incredibly dangerous test pushes the Gold Crew to the ultimate emotional stress. They believe the United States is under nuclear attack. Something has gone wrong. Unbearable suspense. The Gold Crew, a new book by Thomas N. Scorsia and Frank M. Robinson, shatters your sense of security. The best-selling author of Firestarter, Stephen King, says it's the best countdown to nuclear war novel since 7 Days in May, and for my money, a little bit better. The world is at the mercy of the Gold Crew, while the authors of The Glass Inferno and The Prometheus Crisis, on sale now in paperback from Warner Books. The Gold Crew takes you to the depths of terror.
New labor unrest in Poland was sparked this week in the city of Bydgoszcz, where police evicted farmers and union activists from an assembly hall where they'd gone to state their cases. There were some beatings, and Bert Quint has more from Warsaw.
Lech Wałęsa called this crisis the most serious since the start of last summer's strikes. It was more than the beating of union men, three of them seriously. There was the feeling that this could be the beginning of a wave of repression. Union officials suspected that it might not have been simply an impulsive action by die-hard provincial officials, that hardline elements within the national government or the Communist Party might have planned the incident in order to sabotage the truce between Premier Jaruzelski's government and the unions. On Friday, Wałęsa ordered the unions to prepare for strike action by Monday, but he gave no order to strike. He hoped the government would punish those Solidarity considers responsible for the beatings before then. He began discussions with the vice premier today, but time is running out. There is anger enough to cause unions throughout the country to stop work. What the Polish government and the governments of the other East Bloc countries might do then can only be guessed at and feared. Despite Wałęsa's calls for calm and care, that anger is growing rather than diminishing with time. Pictures of the bloodied victims of the beatings have been distributed and displayed in many communities. A program aired on government television last night appeared to be a whitewash of the Bydgoszcz police and authorities, an attempt to shift the blame to the unions. There are several factors, however, that give cause for hope the crisis can be diffused. One is the warm relationship and apparently mutual feeling of trust that developed quickly between Wałęsa and the premier during their first meeting. Another is the knowledge of government and unions that a series of strikes now could be disastrous not only for the economy, but for Poland's reform movement and perhaps its sovereignty as well. Bert Quint, CBS News, Warsaw.
And things looked a little bleaker late today with a breakdown of the union government negotiations in Warsaw. Reagan Economics gets a hearing at the Senate Budget Committee where the paring knife cuts plenty deep for the president. We'll have more on that when The World This Week continues in 1 minute.
Wonderful weekends. Get away from the cares of the work week and catch up on your relaxation. I'm Win Elliott of CBS Radio Sports, and we're going to help you catch up on all the weekend sports going on around the country. We're going to do it on Sports Central USA over most of these stations. Nine times Saturday and Sunday, Howard David, Len Berman, and I cover the events you want to know about. We give you reports filled with action highlights, interviews, and player comments. Each morning, Saturday and Sunday, Bill Schweitzer recaps the past evening's events on Sports Time. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're going to stay sports posted with Sports Central USA. And for you do-it-yourselfers, there's Nick Seitz in the golf spot, Shep Campbell in the tennis spot, and Jack Sampson in the outdoor spot. Three broadcasts Saturday and Sunday to help you improve your golf, tennis, and outdoor skills. And that's a weekend full of sports ahead on most of the CBS Radio Network stations. You stay tuned. Hear it here.
Trimming the federal budget was the order of the week on Capitol Hill. Representative Benjamin Rosenthal wondered just how much consideration had been given to the proposed wholesale cutting back of Federal Trade Commission operations. Rosenthal called it a reversal of 75 years of policy. And the 34-year-old budget director, David Stockman, found himself defending his youth.
There was an article in the Legal Times, for whatever it's worth, that said, and I quote, "The decision was made on the basis of a two-page memo after less than a minute's deliberation by the OMB director, Stockman," close quote. Is that true or untrue?
No, I've been deliberating about it for about 10 years, Mr. Chairman.
You've been deliberating on the FTC antitrust responsibility for 10 years?
Been studying it.
Have you really? For 10 years? When did this begin? At what age?
At a very early age.
The Senate Budget Committee took up its budget-cutting acts for 3 days this week and finally gave unanimous approval to a package that exceeds President Reagan's requests. Jacqueline Adams has that story.
For fiscal year 1981, the committee cut $2.8 billion, $830 million less than the president requested. But for fiscal year 1982, the cuts totaled $36 billion, $2.3 billion more than the president sought. Likewise, for fiscal year 1983, the committee's cuts totaled $47.7 billion, $2.5 billion more than the president's request. The committee did restore funds to a number of programs, among them counseling for Vietnam veterans, a nutrition program for pregnant women and infants, the Export-Import Bank, and training for unemployed youth. But the Republican-dominated committee outdid the president in cutting the budgets for a series of income security programs, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, unemployment insurance, and for both the Urban Development Action Grant Program and the Economic Development Administration. Committee Chairman Senator Pete Domenici called the action the most historic exercise in restraint ever attempted by the Congress. The Democratic members of the committee in the end went along with the Republican leadership, but all week in debate they fought the cuts and were defeated when they tried to raise additional revenues by closing corporate and individual tax loopholes. Ohio Democrat Senator Howard Metzenbaum warned, quote, "Wait till the impact comes around. Wait until the people of this country realize what we've done, and then I'm not sure what we've done is such a good job." The wrangling is far from over. Democrats indicated they would try to restore $3 to $4 billion of cuts in social programs when the budget reaches the Senate floor next week. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, Washington.
If the president was buoyed by Budget Committee support, he found a gathering of the faithful in Washington positively uplifting, as we hear from White House correspondent Neil Strausser.
Friday night of this week was coming home time for President Reagan. Delegates to the Conservative Political Action Convention whooped and cheered as Mr. Reagan told his longtime supporters, "Fellow conservatives, our moment has come.
Just as surely as we seek to put our financial house in order and rebuild our nation's defenses, so too we seek to protect the unborn, to end the manipulation of school children by utopian planners, and permit the acknowledgement..." "...and permit the acknowledgement of a supreme being in our classrooms just as we allow such acknowledgements in other public institutions."
But despite that warm embrace, the White House was busy this week disentangling itself from other friends. At the urging of Chief of Staff James Baker, the Coalition for a New Beginning, organized by wealthy friends of the president to raise money to lobby for his programs, was disbanded. There had been complaints that some contributors were being strong-armed. And on orders of Counselor Edwin Meese, the so-called kitchen cabinet of wealthy friends and advisors was ordered out of office space in the office building next to the White House. Henceforth, the group will carry out its screening for conservative acceptability of possible presidential appointments at the Republican National Committee. Neil Strausser, CBS News, Washington.
More news when the world this week continues in 1 minute.
Hi, I'm Barry Manilow. I'm singing to the world. It's time we let the spirit come in. Let it come on in. I'm singing to the world. Everybody's caught in the spin.
You know, like a lot of people, I used to smoke, and I enjoyed it, but I quit. It wasn't the easiest thing I've ever done, but I did it. And you can too. If you need help, my friends at the American Heart Association have a free booklet. It has practical advice that'll keep you from being a pain in the neck to your friends and your loved ones, and first aid for the times that you feel like smashing your head against the wall. Do a favor for yourself and the people around you. Quit smoking. Call your American Heart Association.
Put your money where your heart is. Please give generously to the American Heart Association. They're fighting for your life.
Tragedy struck the much-delayed space shuttle program this week. One worker died, three were hurt after mistakenly walking into a room filled with nitrogen. The domestic labor front was not at all calm this week. Milwaukee firefighters were out for a day and a half until the city agreed to implement their newly won contract. Philadelphia mass transit workers stayed off the job with no new negotiations in sight. And doctors, interns, and residents struck 9 New York City hospitals demanding additional staffing for better patient care. Over it all hangs the very real threat of a full-scale strike by coal miners in the East and Midwest starting March 27. Talks have broken off there. Wildcatters already have begun shutting down some mines. And the United Mine Workers Union President Sam Church warns that this walkout may well be a long one. The World This Week, produced by Harry Pollution. I'm David Jackson, CBS News.